Here's what's coming up on today's episode of Your Tagline Here.
The first thing that really struck me on that very first morning was, this is it. This is the thing. This is what I was put here to do, ultimately. As I said to you, I've been reading personal development material since I was 17, 18. And reading the books, reading all those books through all that time, made me interested in it. And I thought maybe knowledgeable in it. And I thought, actually, well, you know, that's all I needed to do. But it's much more than that. It's you can read all you want, but you know, action is what counts, and that's the piece that was missing.
Hello, and welcome to the 8th episode of Your Tagline Here. In this episode, I talk to Gary Allen, who is a life coach and specializes in behavioral change. I've actually experienced Gary's coaching firsthand when I was a member of One Year No Beer, so I know how knowledgeable and skillful he is as a coach. Now, he only decided to become a life coach in his mid-40s, so it's really interesting to hear about why he's chosen to do it, how he got qualified, and how he gets a regular flow of clients. He also shares his thoughts about what makes a good coach, explains how he works with clients, and gives some great tips about behavioural change that people can take away and implement in their own lives. Before we get into the episode, I would just like to mention our sponsor, KitLab, which is a digital marketing company based in Birmingham in the UK. KitLab have over 15 years experience and specialise in branding, websites, search engine optimization, paid advertising, social media and more. So if you want to grow your business online, just head over to kitlab.com, which is KIKLAB.com. Okay, let's get into the episode, and if you like it, then make sure you give us a thumbs up and subscribe so you don't miss out on any future content. Also, if you have any questions or comments, then you can leave them below, or you can send us an email to hello@yourtaglinehere.com. Hello, Gary. How are you? Welcome to the podcast.
Simon. It's great to be here. Yeah, great to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this because I've known you for, how long have I known you for now? It's probably coming up to about a year, I think.
I was just about to say about a year, yeah.
Yeah, it is. And we've shared a lot of time on these Zoom calls.
Yeah.
And I've experienced your coaching through those group Zoom calls that we had as 1 Year No Beer. I'm looking forward to finding out about how you became a coach in the first place. So let's just go back to the beginning. What was it that made you want to be a coach in the first place?
You mentioned 1 Year No Beer there, and that's kind of, I suppose, a pivotal starting point. Well, what is that? Well, it's a platform that is an online platform, a company that was set up to help people change their relationship with alcohol. And it's something that I found out about in about beginning of 2017. Because I was kind of just fed up of alcohol. I'm 49 now, so what would that be? About 45 at the time. And it had just wanted to take a little bit of a break. So I just joined the platform and took a little break for 28 days, for 90 days, and just continued on. Because I was just massively enjoying the mental and physical clarity that came with, you know, not having alcohol around for a little while. Never thinking for a second that I'd still be here and alcohol free 3.5 years later. But what's that got to do with coaching? Well, I suppose I mentioned clarity there. So I've got that clarity, and I had been reading personal development books and stuff since I was 17. So it just kind of struck me. I suppose in early 2018 that, you know, maybe coaching might be a thing to try, and went and did a coaching course.
Well, first of all, congratulations on being alcohol free for such a long period of time. How long was it? 3.5 years?
It's 3.5 years now, yeah.
Okay, because that is a massive achievement to be able to go that long without drinking alcohol. And great that through that experience that helped you give you the clarity to decide a new direction in your life? And the training that you had to be a coach, what was involved in that?
Well, I suppose it's a bit of a funny story around that, is that I kind of, as I say, it was about June 2018 when I decided, you know, I might just look up what it would take to be a coach and typed it into Google, Coaching Ireland. And up popped a company that was having an open day the very next day in a hotel less than 10 miles away. So I went and did that, loved it, and went. So that involved 6 months of weekends, sorry, seven, 8 months of weekends once a month in a hotel, so all day Saturday, all day Sunday, when we could all meet back in the old days, when we could all meet together in the one place. And so I did that and gained a diploma in coaching with neuroscience out of that after those 8 months of training.
So that's a lot of time that you invested in that for, so 6 or 7 months, Saturdays and Sundays. Yeah, that's a lot of time, and must have been a lot of learning involved in it. And I always, my ears prick up when I hear that word neuroscience. I love neuroscience. It's something that I'm absolutely fascinated by. Was there anything that really sticks out that you can remember from the course that you learned?
The one thing that not so much that I learned, but we can come on to that in a little bit. But the first thing that sticks out, I suppose, was that I go in the very first day, and it's in a classroom with actually I was it turns out I was the only man in the classroom.
So really?
It was, you know, me and lots of other classmates, all who are women, just coincidentally.
Okay.
And the first thing that really struck me on that very first morning was, this is it. This is the thing. This is what, you know, I'm a software engineer in my other career, which I still do, and, you know, will be doing for the foreseeable future. And coaching is you know, beside that. But it struck me the very first morning is, yeah, this is what I was put here to do, ultimately. I suppose, as I said to you, I've been reading personal development material since I was 17, 18. And what struck me as well that very first morning was while it was all learning and it was all education, none of the material was essentially new. It was all kind of stuff I had read before. But, you know, obviously I was interested in it, but, you know, as I always say to people, interest is never enough. So that's when, you know, the rubber hit the road when I got into coaching and I began to get serious about, you know, implementing a lot of this learning that I had, you know, over the previous number of decades even.
Yeah, and it's nice that it's something that was always of interest to you.
Yeah.
And also really nice that first day when you were there, then you had that confirmation that this is something that you really wanted to do and something that you were put on the planet to help people with. And I know from my own personal experience that you are a fantastic coach and you are really good at what you do and you're very knowledgeable about it. You're talking about books that you've been reading over the years. Are there any books that really stand out for you, by the way? Any recommendations that you would give to people?
Two in particular that stand out for me off the top of my head. I mean, I'm literally, as if you could see my desk here, Simon, it's literally dozens of them everywhere. But the two that stand out, one is called The Obstacle is the Way, by a guy called Ryan Holiday. In fact, you know, pretty much any of the stuff that Ryan Holiday writes is gold to me. He's an American writer on Stoic philosophy and Stoic thinking, but the obstacle is the way is one that I've, you know, revisited recently, and probably, you know, my favorite book, really, if I was to pick a favorite, would be one called The War of Art by a guy called Stephen Pressfield. Okay. It's about resistance, and, you know, resistance is in some form is the reason that we don't do what, you know, what we long to do. For example, you know, why did I not become a coach 10, 15 years ago? You know, it was only, you know, in gaining this knowledge about resistance that I realized, well, that was it in some form or other, but I didn't actually know it was there until, you know, I read that book.
Okay. That's a very interesting question, actually. Why didn't you do it earlier? And you said resistance. What do you mean by that?
I suppose not thinking that I'm good enough, okay. Really. Not thinking that I was, that I was, you know. And I suppose reading the books, reading all those books through all that time made me interested in it. And I thought maybe knowledgeable in it. And I thought, actually, well, you know, that's all I needed to do. But it's much more than that. It's you can read all you want, but, you know, action is what counts. And that's the piece that was missing. And the resistance, I suppose, the fact of when I got that physical and mental clarity and energy from, you know, removing the alcohol, I decided that gave me the confidence, I suppose, to give this a go. And, okay. You know, there was a lot of fear in that as well. I remember the fear of the first morning, clearly. But once I realized that, you know, I could do it, then that resistance lessened and lessened and lessened. And that's not to say that there isn't a whole pile of resistance in my life and about other stuff. There always will be, but that's at least, I know it's there. And work with it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I'm sure that there's a lot of other people that feel that resistance as well about making any kind of change in their life. And I know that it's something that I've experienced with the career change that I've made. And it's something that can stop people from doing things that they really want to do. So thanks for those recommendations. I will check those out because I've not read either of those books. So yeah, I'll add those to my Audible list. So just talking about coaches, what is it that makes a good coach?
It's a good question. I think it probably makes a number of things, really. What is compassion, empathy. We've all, I suppose, been there in terms of our struggles in our life. So compassion and empathy are two of the things that I think people have said to me about me in my coaching that are fairly strong. But I suppose one of the things that I'm kind of maniacal on and a bit fanatical, I suppose, on is a complete objectivity or a complete lack of judgment. Because the last thing anybody needs, and I suppose any coaches listening to this will think it's common sense, and I hope that, you know, it's common sense and most coaches have it, but a complete lack of judgment of anybody that comes into a coaching conversation is utterly and completely essential. Because objectivity makes a good coach. Because you could say something to me like, for example, I've just won the lottery, or my cat has just died. One very good, potentially, and one very bad. Yeah. It's up to me then to go, actually, well, they're just two stories. They're just two events. And so we can make up our own meaning about this. And so it's up to me, to actually see the self-limiting beliefs that you're bringing to the conversation and go, actually, do you know what? Is that really true? Can we change that conversation? Can we change that story that you're telling yourself? You know, where's the evidence to back it up, and you know, what can we do to change it around?
And sometimes,
so I suppose,
go on.
No, I was just going to say, so it's that objectivity and that lack of judgment that I think is key.
And what you were saying there about how being a, or challenging people and giving a different perspective and asking them the questions to almost challenge themselves, actually, by asking them, well, is that really true? You're not saying to them it is or it isn't, but you're just prompting them to challenge it themselves, aren't you?
Yeah. Whereas in a normal, typical day-to-day conversation, you will tell somebody a story and they will buy into that sort of story. Like, well, I just won the lotto. Isn't that really cool? My cat just died. Or isn't that really bad? Whereas I will go, okay, right. That's a story. That's all it is. It's a story and it's an event, and we'll just, we can make up our own meaning about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So with the coaching that you do, what sort of people do you typically help?
Well, as I say, as we did talk about, well, I am a coach with 1 year no beard, so it's very much the vast majority of the coaching that I will do will be to help people with behavior change and with habit change. Because in 1 year no beer, we help people, and I help people help them change their relationship with alcohol. And that isn't necessary. That isn't. I'm not talking here about the people, who have a dangerous, damaging, life-threatening relationship with alcohol, because I don't have the qualifications and I don't have the training for that. But I'm just talking about here somebody who like me built up a habit that is. Just kind of boring now, and it's past its sell-by date and it's not working anymore, and it's just it's those people that I enjoy helping most, where they can actually look past that and go, what is out there if you just remove the alcohol, and how can we change these habits that you've built up over the course of potentially decades. Those are the people that I enjoy helping most.
Which must also be good, because you have been there and done it and bought the t-shirt, and you are a living and breathing example of making that behavioural change, and now 3.5 years without drinking. So having that direct experience must help you to help other people who are in a similar position.
I am lucky in the sense that I got that opportunity in 1 year no beer, but at the same time, I do think the skin in the game, if you want to call it that I have in there, and with people, being with them in their journey through their changing their relationship with alcohol, I can say, this might be coming next, or I've experienced that. Here's my take on what's happening here, and this is how I dealt with this. It makes it, I suppose, it makes me a bit more successful than otherwise it might.
Yeah, and I think it gives you more credibility as well, because even though you've got the qualifications behind you, you've also got that life experience, so people know that you do really know what you're talking about, because you've not just read about it in a book, but you've actually been there and done it. With behavioural change, can you give an example of some kind of exercise or technique that you might go through with someone to help them change a behaviour or a habit, whether that's with alcohol or whether that's with anything else?
Yeah, well, there's, I suppose, two or three things that spring to mind here is first of all, knowing why do you want to do this? That is absolutely key, because we can I should is not a good enough reason really to do anything. we need to buy in. So people do things, or people make any change, really. Any behavior change for one of two reasons. One is a reason of desperation, In other words, something's got to give, this has got to stop, I can't go on like this, et cetera, or the one is, another is a reason of inspiration. In other words, imagine if I could, what would happen if, et cetera, et cetera. So, and what prevents people from, you know, a sustainable behavior change, from gaining sustainable behavior change, is that they stay with the desperation. Desperation is important. It gets you, and that's a very melodramatic word, but just to illustrate a concept, it's important that gets you started, because it will get you started, but it won't keep you going. You've got to get to the inspiration. So that's number one, knowing why. Number two, knowing that you actually have achieved stuff before and actually acknowledging that and writing it down and making that list of stuff you have achieved, because everybody's achieved stuff, everybody, in their lives, no matter whether it's, you know, making your bed in the morning, or whether it's going to college, or whether it's, you know, raising a family and getting a job, everybody's achieved stuff. So there's evidence there for almost the entire population. There's evidence there that you can achieve stuff. So that's doing that inventory of your successes is number two. And I suppose the third thing is very, very, very importantly, is to start small, is to break things down into their tiniest components. For example, if you were to, you know, try to start a meditation practice or a writing practice or something like that, you know, just doing it for 5 minutes a day, consistently. Consistency is important. Consistency is vital. In fact, it's absolutely vital. And your brain won't rebel on you too much if you're starting small, really. So those are the three things. Know why, make an inventory of your past successes and break things down into their smallest bits.
Thanks for sharing all of that. That's really powerful information that people can use, and really powerful exercises that people can do. I know from my own personal experience, just writing stuff down can be really therapeutic in a way, but can also be very empowering. Because I know for me, a lot of the stuff that's in my head when it's going round can be very negative, and it just seems to snowball. But when I'm writing down on paper, I find it much easier, or writing on a computer, I find it much easier to be more positive with what my thoughts are. I've done some of those things that you've mentioned before, and it is a very powerful thing to help change in any kind of way. So yeah, that's really good advice. How do you go about getting clients? Is it all through One Year No Beer, or do you have private clients that you get as well?
I would say the vast majority of my clients are through One Year No Beer, by choice. But because I really, really enjoy that. And, you know, the odd client here and there from word of mouth comes to me locally as well.
And that must be a good thing for you, because you know that you're getting a regular flow of clients.
I'm incredibly lucky to be in that position, yeah.
And you don't have to worry about the marketing side of things, which is very challenging. And from someone who wants to be a coach, I imagine that you want to concentrate your time on being a coach rather than having to do all of the marketing side of things.
Absolutely, yeah. So I suppose it's like maybe the coach's equivalent of winning the lotto. Like, you just my clients come to me.
So. That is really good. So if there's anyone out there who is thinking about being a coach, what advice would you give them?
Again, I'm going to go back to know why. That's what's going to make you successful. If you know why, first of all, and I'm not going to tell you that I knew exactly why that I wanted to be a coach, but I kind of knew when I went into that classroom, I knew it was the right decision. But I can't tell you now that I knew why. I was interested in personal development. I was interested in neuroscience. I was interested in all that kind of stuff. But I never, you know, for a second thought it would be as a life-changing journey as it has been. So know why is the first thing. And if you don't know why, just give it a go. If it appeals to you, then cool. If it doesn't, then cool too. But the second thing is, and I can't stress this enough, is get a good qualification.
Okay.
Because it's unfortunately, in my opinion, it's not a regulated industry, at least not as regulated as it should be. So anyone can call themselves a coach, but if you can get a good qualification, that will give you some, credibility. I've just gotten an advanced coaching qualification over the last couple of weeks. I've just finished that course in advanced coaching in neuroscience. So that's adds another little string to my bow as well.
You've mentioned neuroscience a few times now,
yeah.
And I said that my ears prick up because I love that kind of thing, and I'm just fascinated by how the brain works, because it's just bonkers, isn't it, how the brain works. But I love understanding all of the different bits. So how does neuroscience and coaching fit together?
Okay, that's an excellent question. But I suppose the way I would answer that is by one word. By awareness. It gives you, and I suppose coaching is about creating awareness, but particularly in this instance, it's creating awareness around the fact that a couple of things. One, what's going on in here? What are your systems, like your sympathetic nervous system, your parasympathetic nervous system, your vagus nerve, and learning all that stuff about all of the systems you have in your brain. And also creating awareness around some of our reactions, or quite a lot of our reactions to events, our strong reactions, like our reactions of fear of any sort, or you know, fight, flight, freeze, is to a large degree not our fault, and not something that we can necessarily do a lot about, at least from an initial first point of view, because you know those reactions, those fight or flight threat reactions that we have, are you know evolved into us because of the way we because we needed them.
It's a survival mechanism at the end of the day,
yes,
isn't it?
Absolutely, and they're still there. However, you know, we don't have lions and saber-toothed tigers running after us after these days. Mm-hmm. So while they're still there, they're of, you know, limited use now. Well, whereas, you know, they're still useful in making us fearful of running out in front of cars and putting our hand in a fire and stuff like that. But, you know, to a large degree, they're not that useful anymore. But at the same time, they're still there. So coaching kind of gives you the awareness that, you know, to recognize it, you know, understand it, and redirect it to our advantage rather than to work against us.
Yeah, and if we can do that, then that's very powerful, isn't it?
It is. It gives us that sense of control. Whereas you know, that's, you know, everything is going wrong, and I'm frozen, and I'm really I'm in this kind of threat state. Once you recognize that you can change that through various different, you know, tools like, you know, breathing and meditation and journaling and all that kind of stuff we already talked about.
Okay.
Then that's a really, as you said, really empowering thing.
Yeah. And I think just recognizing what our emotions are in whatever the moment might be.
Yeah.
And understanding that those emotions are there for good reason, then that can take a lot of the heat out of the situation as well, can't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they are. I suppose, as I've heard them recently described it, evolutionary echoes of things that we needed.
Yeah.
In the past, but you know, we don't necessarily need anymore.
So what is it about coaching that you personally enjoy the most?
I suppose every client is different. Mm. Every day is different. I like looking into, I was going to say 99%, but it's probably 100% at the moment of my coaching online.
Okay.
And you know, every so often you can see someone's eyes go, ooh. They light up when you ask a question, and that's a great place to be.
Yeah.
But at the same time, and that's a great reaction to have. And it's, but building relationships too is one of the things that I love about coaching. Is that you can I've made so many friends through my coaching. Present company very much included.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the part I love as well, and seeing, as I say, seeing people, seeing people's lives improve through the conversations that we have, and I really purposefully say not what I do for these people, but because they do, you know, anyone that I coach makes these changes themselves. I don't make the changes for them in their lives if they want to make a change. But, you know, we together, we create the awareness so that they can make the change.
Yeah, it must be a really rewarding thing to do, to know that you are helping other people, or helping other people to help themselves, and to see the difference that the things that you're doing are making to people's lives, whether that's through One Year No Beer or whether that's through the other sessions that you do with people. I can definitely see how the relationships that you build must be good, because I value our friendship that we have, and it's lovely to catch up with you again.
It is a great place to be. And I suppose the other thing, the final thing, is that, you know, I am 49, so I have had a bit of a life experience behind me. So I like bringing that life experience. I think that's another important thing that you that makes a good coach, is plenty of life experience, because the big misnomer, or the big kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Fallacy about.
Okay. I was going to say misconception.
Misconception. That's the word.
Okay.
Misconception about coaches is that they have it all sorted. And okay, here we come with, and that just could not be further from the truth.
Yeah.
I suppose the fact that, you know, you're open, and you're open to the fact that things can be different and can change makes a good coach as well. And, you know, I certainly don't have my stuff sorted by any stretch. And that's what I enjoy as well, that, you know, maybe a coach is someone who's maybe that much ahead rather than, you know, that much ahead.
Yeah. I heard it said once that to teach someone, you only have to be one page ahead of them in the textbook.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
So, Gary, the final question that I'm going to ask you is, what is your tagline to summarize your story about becoming a coach?
Well, the thing that I've learned since I became a coach, and I'm stealing a line here from Barack Obama, is yes, you can.
Absolutely. And I think it's a great person to steal something from. And it's a very simple and very true statement that, yes, we can all do anything.
Whatever we want to do. Whatever you set your mind to, you can do it. Absolutely no question.
And it just, like you were saying earlier, it's about taking things in small steps as well, isn't it? And just having faith and having belief. And yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Okay. Well, thanks so much for coming on, Gary. It has been lovely to see you and to catch up, because it's been a while since we last spoke to each other.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you, Simon. I really, really enjoyed that.
Thanks. And yeah, it was great to hear your story. And I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there who will be very interested by it, because there's a lot of people who want to get into the coaching field themselves. So it's good to learn from your experience. And yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Thanks, Simon.
I hope that you enjoyed the episode. Please don't forget to hit the like button and subscribe so you don't miss out on future content. If you have any questions, then you can leave us a comment below or send us an email to hello@yourtaglinehere.com. Coming up next week, we'll be speaking to Josh Dykes, who runs a public speaking training business called Speak Up, which will be coming out on Thursday, the 22nd of July. So I will see you there.